Sunday! Every Sunday, side by side at the microphone for the green light to the speed trap, Ray Guarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! With mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands for the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Even!
Yeah, you've got a couple oldies but goodies here at Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show with your host, Ray Guarino, co-host, wingman, and the guy we call...
The other guy.
Joe D.
Is that board wax I see over there next to your toolbox?
I was using it for mustache wax, too, yeah, but, you know, it's multi-purpose. We like to...
Okay, good.
Use our stuff.
You're just going to make sure that you don't use the mustache on the board, right?
Right.
Good.
You got that right.
I wouldn't be able to unsee that.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, me neither. So anyway, we are here. We're done with our fundraising marathon this week, and I do want to say
thank you.
Yes, to all of the people who did help support us and support this station.
So many of yous.
We had a very good turnout last week, and things still did come in during the week. And you still can donate if you want. You can get a hold of us. You can go to our website. There's a link on motormouthradio.com. It'll show you how to do it. You can go to the WHPCs. I'll get you the exact link in a little bit.
I got a wad of cash thrown at me after the show from the boys at the CF/UD.
Always nice. Yeah, that's great. Usually they're throwing beer cans at you.
Well, yeah, that's true too. But well, the money was wrapped in beer. The beer cans were wrapped in money.
There you go.
So it worked out good. So we got, as a matter of fact, I got to drop this off when I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah. But that was great. That was all last week. We had a good time doing that, except for Kim's caller, who isn't listening to us now, I know. But if you want to follow us, you can, like I said, we have...
the schedule.
Yeah, we do have motormouthradio.com, our website, and we're on Twitter, which doesn't get... we're at Motormouth Radio, which doesn't get as much action as... To Joe's Disdain, Instagram, which you can find us at.
Real_MotorMouthRadio.
And I do find we do have more action on the Instagram side than the Twitter side. I don't know why. I think I like it better because it's picture... Well, Twitter can be picture-based, too. But Instagram is... People go there for picture-based stuff, which is what people can see, Joe, as we post what we do during the week when we're not behind the microphone for an hour.
Exactly. Yeah, we're out there, busy little bees, doing car stuff. So we actually live this. So far as that goes, yeah, we're not talking through our proverbial hats.
Anything
else with an aperture in it.
And we have the grease stains to prove it. So if you want to call us,
grease, blood.
Yeah, do it the old school way. You can get us now this hour at 516-572-7440. And we'll happily entertain your calls and talk about all this good stuff today.
Let us entertain you.
Yeah, I want to say today is the Belmont Long Island Cars Judge show and swap meet. Now, I got an email from them saying this is the last one, which is kind of, I know why, because they're doing a whole project with the Islanders and and all sorts of stuff. So they didn't say, and I'm going to see if I can get a hold of the principals on here. Maybe we can get them on this show.
Yeah.
Because I'd like to know if they plan on, if it's just the last one at Belmont and they plan on or are going to try to move it to another venue, which would be really cool.
Yeah, because they also put on other shows in different parts of the island.
Oh, so. Yeah. Up at Planting Fields, and they do Bald Hill. But it would be nice to have another Nassau event. I think right across the street from us here at the Coliseum would be perfect.
Hell yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, it's nice to take a day like this is great to take a cruise out to someplace in Suffolk. However, especially for us Queens guys.
Right, exactly.
You know, it's just having someplace a hop, skip, and a jump is definitely beneficial.
Without a doubt.
You know?
And I have to mention, next week, we're not in next week because we did our fundraising thing, so we have a week off. But the St. Patrick's Show it's the 14th annual show, and it is the 28th. It's the end of the month. Well, I said next week. That was incorrect. 4 p.m., and that's out at glasses on here, and I will read it. It's the St. Patrick Car Show. Twitter is, their account is at SPS Smithtown, and you can call John Forlenza at 631-588-2696 if you want some information about that. And you can, that's 284 East Main Street, Smithtown, New York. It's easy to find. It's cool. We've been out there many times in the past. And also, we're going to be at the Tobey Beach Car Show on the 28th, doing a live remote. That's the Town of Oyster Bay show.
Right, yeah.
And we'll be down there.
That'll be a rip, yeah.
I don't know how we're doing it yet, but we'll be doing it.
Right. We have to get really long string.
And yeah, yeah.
Maybe three cans, one for each of us and one for a guest.
Exactly.
So we could transmit back to the radio station.
Right.
And after that, maybe smoke signals.
That could work. But another big thing coming up this coming week, Joe, next Saturday, you want to go to the AutoZM private liquidation sale.
Oh, right.
How private could it be if we're talking about it, right? But it is. There's going to be all sorts of automotive tools, equipment, and some cars. The AutoZM lost its lease with Nassau County, and the now they're selling off all the stuff, the ancillary components that were there. The world's longest limo is going to be for sale. It's actually online right now. They're taking bidding on that.
That thing goes on for about two blocks, that thing.
Yeah, it's a 1976 Caddy Eldorado, Guinness World Record holder. It's on eBay. You can go look at that now. But next week at it's the parking lot behind Superior Court on County Seat Drive. Mm-hmm. If you know where the AutoZM was, look across the street. That's where the event will be. And that's, I don't have the hours in front of me, but I know it's going to be, you know, during the day. It's Saturday, I think it's like probably 10 to 3, 10 to 4, something like that.
Yeah, you basic, let some, you know, get enough time to wake up, have breakfast.
Yeah.
Go hit the ATM.
Right.
You know, so that way you have...
Bring cash.
Yes, cash.
Yeah, I know. I'll be down there after work. I'll be doing that.
And, yeah.
You know, so more information. We won't be able to give you more information because this is our last show before then, but definitely check that out. So, yeah, Kim's fan will be happy that we're not in next week because doesn't seem to like the fact that we were taking over her hour. But so anyway, that being the case, you had an interesting diagnostic trip this week that you shared with everybody on Instagram.
Yeah, it was one of those phone calls on a Friday night that I was actually going to kind of take it easy this Saturday, but when one of my boys gets in trouble, you know, you gotta do the right thing. So he goes, yeah, I got this 73 Toyota FJ Land Cruiser. I'm like,
okay.
And I'm going, what's the matter? It's not charging. And I'm like, I love it when you're sitting there, feet, you know, sitting on the couch, feet up, and you know, I'm usually reading something automotive or technically related, but I was like, you couldn't tell me this when I was actually in front of all my information systems at work and whatnot, so I can print some stuff up, right?
Right.
Well, it turns out that, I did some study and did some online Googling around or whatever, found the diagram, kind of remembered how it's a pretty straight up system. I get there and I open the hood and there's a Ford alternator staring at me.
What year was that vehicle again?
73.
73, right.
There's a Ford alternator staring at me. I'm like,
Right.
And then I look on the fender well and there's that flat Ford regulator, for those of you who use standard parts, it's a VR-167, okay. 166. And then I just kind of take more of a look around, and I could see my friend Conan was there.
Conan the mechanic.
Yes. This thing seems its backstory was that it was a plow truck.
Okay.
That somebody decided to make it an actual cruiser again. And they decided to hack out all the plow wiring. And what had happened, it turned out to be actually a really easy fix.
Was the alternator harness part of the hack job from the plow wiring?
Yes, because there was Scotch locks all over the place.
Oh, fire starters.
No, no plugs, no nothing. Just like, you know, you know, tape, as in scotch. You know, sometimes it actually rated black tape, but mm-hmm. Wire ties in a very, making their own very convenient little brackets.
Oh, cool.
You know, it was more redneck than Conan.
We've seen that before.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was a boobified. I was stunned. I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do with this now?
Yeah.
And then once he laid out the situation that, look, I just want this thing to charge, you know, and because I said to him, I should be straightening this stuff out, you know, and it wouldn't be that big an undertaking because it's a relatively simple vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
All I did was I did a little troubleshooting. The guy, the hacker, Mr. Barbarian, he cut the ignition feed to the voltage regulator.
Uh-huh.
And somehow it was ganged up with the electric fuel pump that was kind of tie-wrapped to the fender well on the other side. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah.
So, basically, I just ran a new wire to that.
Okay.
And bang, zoom, it started. Except I couldn't get it started at first.
Oh.
And, you know, it's carbureted. And I'm like, mm-hmm. you know, I get in the car and I go, okay, so at first, I just hit the key. I'm like, oh, it's not fuel injected. What am I doing?
Right.
Right. So then I pump it like twice. Nothing. Mm. I'm looking around. And then, you know, this thing, if you look at the picture on the Instagram or Facebook post, it's got a bunch of pull knobs. It almost looks like an air hockey
game. Or a vending machine.
The old vending machine.
Cigarette machine.
Yeah,
pull
exactly.
Up
yeah. Or the Clark bar, or the $10,000 bar. And one of them said, choke.
Ah, there you go.
So I says, eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
Uh huh.
Boom! Starts right up. God bless. It's an old Toyota.
Beautiful.
Yeah. It's funny. It's got a straight six, which you'd swear if it was sitting there, it looks like a Chevy, you know, stove bolt.
Ironclad motor.
Yeah. Yeah. Thing's a tanker. And, sure enough, it started up, started charging, you know, about 13 and a half volts, and you know the battery was low.
I know you had no reason to look, but it probably had like a Hitachi carburetor on it or something.
It had a mud encrusted something or other.
Yeah.
And because I was like, wow, this is, yeah, you know, it's rough. It's really rough. Right. Patina is a kind term for it, but
yeah,
this thing was cool. Mm-hmm. I really liked it. I mean, it, you know, you could see how these things were legendary. You could see this thing was built like a freaking tank.
Right.
You know, and because I said to the guy who owns the place, do you want me to like go through the wire and straighten it all up because there's wires all over there, like I said. Yeah. And then he's like, no, I want it like this.
Yeah.
I said, you guy don't want to spend no money. I'm like, what? So, okay.
Job at hand, move on.
Exactly. Then he had another like a evap leak, you know, to do, and I was out of there in another half hour, so.
Wow.
That was it. But that was, you see, I was all read up on Toyota systems, you know, ready to get down to it, whatever, you know, how to fulfill it, blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
And I get there, nothing.
Yeah.
Not a Toyota piece in sight.
Right, right.
I love, you could actually see where they hacked it out of some Mustang or a Crown Vic or something, and, like, slapped it in there.
Well, back in the day, having worked in the rebuilding field, the Toyota stuff was, the Japanese stuff in general was a little harder to come, it was more expensive.
Yeah.
You know, to come by. And so I could see if a guy had to do a change, maybe the alternator, and if they didn't know what the problem was, just, you know, get, I mean, plenty of VWs are running around with, like, Delco alternators on them.
Yeah.
There was even a retrofit for Harley motorcycles. Guys with panheads and knuckleheads. They'd
put Delcotrons?
Hang a Delco off the front.
No kidding. Yeah. I mean, they are straight up and simple units, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, this guy obviously was ready to load the parts cannon.
Right.
And he did load the parts cannon with, like, old-fashioned Ford stuff, which, in a way, it's, like, plenty of information.
Sure.
Pretty reliable. And, you know, right down to the wire colors, it's kind of cool, so.
Well, that's good. You didn't have to go and,
I was ready to do some archaeology or some spelunking or whatever.
Instead, you went out into the field, you were kind of grazing in the grass with this thing, so.
Can you dig it?
Can you? Yes, I can dig it, and in fact, we're going to dig it right to a break.
I can dig it, you can dig it, he can dig it.
Anyway. And we'll be back with more Motor Mouth Radio in just a couple of quick seconds. We're going to take a quick little break, and we'll be back on 90.3 WHPC.
Grazing in the grass,
grazing in the grass, grazing in the grass, baby, can you dig it?
This portion of programming on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by the Center for Workforce Development at Nassau Community College, where you can now learn to fly a drone, gain hands-on experience in operating a drone, and learn the many civilian uses of drones as well as the New York legal requirements. The current and future perspectives on unmanned aerial vehicles will be discussed, and you'll hear about the infrastructure of the industry as well as federal legislation and how it impacts users. Drones will be flown weekly during indoor-led sessions. The focus will be on non-commercial use. The drones course starts April 24th. More information can be found by contacting the Center for Workforce Development at 516-572-7487 or by visiting ncc.edu.
This is Dennis Pitzenberger from Sticker Shock, and if you're not listening to Motor Mouth Radio, boy, you are lost in the smoke of the burnout. Make sure to tune in each and every week because these guys are exactly what you want to hear. Real car guys, real talk every single weekend. Can you dig it,
baby? Yeah, Dennis Pitzenberger knows we can dig it, and the Friends of Distinction can dig it that we are the real deal. So I think we've been verified, Joe.
Yeah, we like the sun beaming down between the leaves. We have been verified and so forth.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what did you do this weekend? You had a few things going on yourself there, Mr. Ray.
I did. I had a very, very rare Saturday off from work. And
wow.
Coincidentally, the Mikes had asked if I wanted to go with them. And actually, you were invited too, and then you couldn't make it, unfortunately,
right,
to Ground Up Restoration's open house. And yeah, we talked about that. We'd been up there just about a month ago to pick up a hood for Mike's, the Chevelle project that we're working on.
Right.
And now they were having an open house, and they have a lot of vendors and all. And so we went up again. We took the drive a couple hours up into Connecticut in Mike's nice new... Oh, that Ram truck is nice, boy. I tell you, the new trucks. Oh.
Yeah, they are amazing, aren't they?
I want to talk... It's almost an autonomous vehicle, the way it has lane departure and the way it...
Right.
Mike, you know, was driving and did some experiments, and I'll talk about that, but... We coupled the trip with a visit to another pizzeria down there in New Haven, Sally's. And I tell you something, in today's Newsday, there was a write-up on New Haven and the food and the culture, and it's like, it's ironic because we were just there yesterday enjoying it. But at Ground Up, they had a nice little thing. It's not like down here. It was a little more low-key, less people, but they had a bunch of manufacturers' reps inside. I talked to a GM performance parts guy, of course, and we're going to try. I asked him to come on the show. I gave him my card. He's going to call and hopefully set something up. We'll get him on the show to talk about the latest and greatest from GM.
Yeah, they've always traditionally had some really cool stuff that... Besides the usual aftermarket stuff, it's GM, or they blend in the aftermarket stuff, too.
Right.
That was a bit of a hike, man.
It is.
Autonomous vehicle or not, I mean, that's Naugatuck, Connecticut.
Well, they're always into the road trip. I said, you know, the next one, I said, now we got to go to New Hampshire. And Mike's like, what's there? I'm like, Ames.
The Pontiac place.
So me and the other Mike, so me and Junior can, like, you know, take that. And he goes, well, that's going to be like an overnighter trip, so that's going to be a longer deal.
Yeah, that's a haul.
We'll see. But anyway, I did talk with the guy from The Right Stuff because I had a lot of disc brake stuff laid out.
Right.
So I asked him the question. I said, here you go. On my car, I didn't even tell him what car it was because it doesn't matter. I said, I have the smaller GM spindles with the stock 10.5-inch cast iron rotors. I want to know... I know, Joe, I've tapped you for this. We've talked about this in the past. What the largest size rotor available is that uses the same bearings so I can put them on
right,
those spindles.
Yeah.
And I haven't been able to do the parts wizardry yet to figure it out, but he said to me, well, how big do you want to go, 13, 14? I'm like, whoa. I'm like, 11, 12 would be nice. You know, 12 would be cool.
It's a little bigger. You're not stopping a train.
So he says, well, we got a kit, and it's like a 12-inch rotor, and it's a two-piece rotor. So there's the magic. The rotor's a rotor, and the hub is what holds the bearings.
Smoky mirrors.
That's the piece.
Yep.
And, of course, you need a different caliper bracket because now you move the caliper out. The calipers I'm using, the Wilwoods, won't work because of the... But I'll probably go with those Camaro calipers. So I said, okay, so what's the deal? What do you got for the rotors with the hubs and the caliper bracket? So did they make a backing plate? No backing plate for these. I'm like, God damn, I don't like not having a backing plate. I just don't, you know?
Right.
So I said, okay, you know, what's the deal on the parts? He goes, oh, well, it's not too bad. It's about 900.
Gack!
I was like, okay, thank you for your time, Mr. Right Stuff.
Yeah.
So now I'm back to looking at GM parts and numbers. I don't know where to start, though, to find what I'm looking for.
Yeah, that actually...
It's like either bearing by application. I don't know.
Well, I think... Wow. This you caught me on the fly here. Basically, I would start by looking up the bearings.
Mm-hmm.
I would look up the bearings, and although a lot of them are the same, I would just like note the inner and outer bearings.
Yeah.
And then after that, then I would start going with the rotors. You know what I mean? See what rotors go with that bearing. You know?
Well, that's I need the right database to correlate that info. Well,
basically, though, in those years, I would say that you're talking about probably a full-size car, i.e. Caprice, Bonneville. I don't think the Malibus, any of the mid-size cars
all
had anything that.
The A-bodies are the same.
The A-bodies are now, the smaller. So you're dealing with like a Malibu wagon, a cop car.
See, I did purchase...
Something like the taxi.
When I was putting the car together, I did purchase a set of brand-new spindles and rotors that were from the Colonnade-style cars, like the 73
right.
and up. And those are larger rotors.
Yes.
Now, I remember I had to use different bearings in them.
Right.
So that didn't work. And, of course, those spindles didn't work because the ball joint configuration that I had. So,
the geometry, yeah.
So I know that would be like, that's an obvious one, and I know that's not going to work already.
Hmm.
You know, because I have those. Of course, what I have, I can't use. What I've already paid for, I can't use, right?
But, essentially, though, you know, there's a lot of interchangeability among the... like with the A and B body, the midsize and the full size cars.
Mm-hmm.
There might be a Camaro or some, you know, or a Firebird that I'm missing because I haven't done those kind
of
slots.
A lot of guys used F body spindles, and I know that.
Well, yeah, I mean because they ended up being more, you know, there was more performance options for those. Although, up to second generation and third generation, I mean, maybe the 1LE from the third gens might have had okay. something, but for the most part, they tended to be pretty much run-of-the-mill sizes.
Yeah. Again, I think that's kind of like what I have with the Colonnade stuff, where it does give you the larger ball joints, but now it does not fit with what I have on the car. So,
right.
I mean, I have no problem changing the spindles. It's you know, it's not a big job.
Right. You'd have to do a little bit of machine work or something like that. That's like we were working on that 56 Ford.
Oh, yeah.
The monument that we have over at the UK.
nice way of putting it.
There was a disc brake swap that involved a Granada.
Yes, very popular with the Fords.
Yes, which involves some machining of the ball joint, the spindles to accommodate the ball joints of the of the earlier car. But, you know, and then now, although I came across a kit, you know, I was like, okay, bolts right onto the stock spindle, done.
I could see if the ball joint in the car was larger than the taper in the spindle, you can change the taper
right
in a machine. You can't make it smaller. It's like, you know, you can take off, but you can't add back.
Exactly. That's why the old measure twice, cut once thing
right.
is.
But anyway, it was nice to talk with the guys at Right Stuff and see what they had. My, you know, Mike had bought some parts up there, which is nice. It's always nice dealing with the guys across the counter and the girls. The ladies are very knowledgeable there too. And he got the cool chrome rectangular exhaust tips that
Ooh.
If you know what the back of a Chevelle looks like, an SS, that's the signature piece right there.
Yeah. And it's one of those cars that looks just as good going away as it does coming at you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And they're very knowledgeable. They're a pretty professional organization. I've dealt with them both as a vendor
mm-hmm.
and as a buyer over for many years, and I've always found them to be a class operation.
Yeah. I couldn't nail anybody down at the show, but I want to get somebody from there on the show to talk about what they do.
Absolutely.
You know, I'll work on that. We have a couple of guests floating, but you can give us a call to talk about this stuff or your own stuff at 516-572-7440. I was watching a TV show. Actually, no, it's a YouTube show called The Barn Find Hunter. And I'm like,
Barn Find Hunter.
Oh, that sounds familiar. I'm watching this guy, tall, kind of lanky. The voice is kind of familiar. I'm thinking, that reminds me of Tom Cotter.
Now, oh, okay.
We had Tom Cotter on this show, I think it was back in like 06, 07.
Yeah, quite some time ago.
He was actually in the studio, and then he recurred because he was a Long Island guy. He wrote the Cobra in the Barn, the Hemi in the Barn,
yes.
the Vincent in the Barn, a bunch of stuff. So, and then we kind of lost touch with him. And I watched a few episodes of this show. They don't run credits to tell you who's the guy who does the camera, which is kind of weird, but I watched one just Thursday.
What do you want to know that for?
Yeah, I know, right?
Well, you writing a book or something?
Exactly. Yeah. I'm the book writer, not you. He actually said, I'm Tom Cotter. I'm like, I got it. I caught it. I know. It's you. So I go down to the computer. I fire off an email. I start writing Tom. And, of course, the email predicts it and comes up with all the Toms I know. And there was Cotter. So I said, okay, let me send him an email.
Mr. Cotter.
And I basically, actually, you'll see it when you go back to work. So I copied you.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And Tom has graciously agreed to, come back on this show. So I think it's going to be not next week because we're off the week after.
Right.
The 21st.
Yeah.
We should have Tom Cotter on the phone talking about his YouTube deal and, of course, all the books that he wrote. So we look forward to that.
Some interesting stuff there. I mean, Bond finds are cool.
And he's a master. What he did in his last YouTube video, you could look it up, he went down to LeClaire, Iowa, which is the home of the American Pickers.
Right.
In fact, he rolls up on their building, and he drives around and says, this is their main location, the first location they had. And he says, I'm going to find a car in their backyard. So he kind of threw a gauntlet down. And he went like a block away, and he found one. Course,
no kidding.
No answer. He went two blocks away. Nobody was there. So he ended up being a little ways away from there, but certainly within striking distance where he found this honey hole. It looked like it was old Fords at first, and it turned into a bunch of Pontiacs. Guy had a bunch of GTOs and a 68 Grand Prix.
A goat farm!
Yeah. So it was kind of cool. That's what got my attention. So we'll talk to him about that. And you should check out his books, because his books, I know they're through, I think it was, who published his books? Was it Motor Press? You know what? If you Google Tom Cotter, C-O-T-T-E-R, you'll find all those links. We had links up on the website in the past.
Yeah.
They're not there now because we redid everything, but you'll find all the stuff. He's popular enough.
Yeah, there's quite a few videos. I just kind of Googled them real quick. There's a lot of videos.
Is that the YouTube stuff that you find there?
Yeah, Bond Find Honda.
That's it. That's his moniker. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. He gets some interesting places and some interesting cars here. I see a Chevelle. I see a Woody. Here looks maybe Ferrari-ish.
Actually, I've seen a Woody when you've seen a Chevelle. When I was, but we don't necessarily.
He said wood.
That kind of reminds me. It's not really the same topic, but it's kind of close.
Whoa! These guys are the kings of rock. There is none higher. Oh, cool.
That sounds like you and me after sitting around after a couple of beers at the day
or the
shop.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
That's what we would get reduced to, folks.
Pretty much.
Not for nothing, but, actually, that is our first language.
It is. It is kind of troglodyte or whatever.
Yeah.
Now, let me mention, if you're going to go to look for the UD, you could also check out a show on this station that's called Lyrics to Go. Fridays at 11 p.m., you'll explore the creativity of hip-hop music with host DJ Solero, one of our good buddies here at the station.
DJ Solero, where the have you been?
Yeah, I'm getting something to eat. So anyway, I have to play his promo. Maybe we'll do that. Yeah, we'll get that one up. So that was kind of yesterday's soiree. That was it was pretty big. We were gone all day. We didn't get back till like 6 o'clock at night, because it's a lot of driving up and back.
Yeah, Naugatuck. I mean, I didn't look at a map, but I'm kind of semi familiar with like middle to upper Connecticut. Yeah, that's a haul.
It is. It's nice. You just kind of go. You're 90, take 95 all the way up, and then you kind of just make a left turn. You go north, and
right.
It takes you all the way up. Nice. It's nice scenery. Nice. Nice.
Beautiful
road.
State.
It is. So we had fun. It was cool. It was a nice day. Any day when you're not working, when you're doing something else, is a nice day, right? I mean, it's all
absolutely.
It's all.
I mean, you can't always have your head stuck under a car.
No.
A dashboard, a hood, whatever.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that was, speaking of that, because I it was a little busy for me, too. I tracked a misfire on the 74 Valiant.
I tell you what, I will get to that after the break.
Oh, okay.
Keep yourself in pause on that. But speaking, right.
I push the button.
Speaking of, Pontiacs, we're going to go back to Pontiac land with our next little intro thing here. We'll play a couple promos and we'll come back with more Motormouth Radio with Ray Guarino and Joe D. Keep it where you got it on 90.3 WHPC. Take it away, Ronnie.
Little GTO, you're really looking fine. Three deuces and a four speed and a 389.
Hi. I'm Isabella, and I'm getting ready to celebrate 100 years of Girl Scouting in Nassau County. In honor of our centennial celebration, Girl Scouts of Nassau County is showing our appreciation to the members of our Girl Scout community with a night filled with games, rides, and excitement. April 12th is Girl Scouts of Nassau County Family Appreciation Night at Adventureland in Farmingdale, where all of my Girl Scout sisters can get together for an evening of fun with our families and friends. It's 3 hours filled with rides, entertainment, and of course, Girl Scout thrills. You can invite your mom, dad, and yeah, even your brothers and sisters. I think it will be an amazing evening with your Girl Scout friends. More information is available by visiting gsnc.org. That's gsnc.org. Hope to see you there.
Hey, you in the car. Yeah, you. You're a fan of the music of Sly Stone. I know you are. No reason to hide it. You've probably been looking for a radio program that highlights his music. Well, then look no further. Let me introduce myself. I am DJ Solero. That's soul followed by air and an O. Solero. Well, never mind about that. Back to what we're both here to talk about. The Sly Stone Show features the music of Sly through the various artists who have covered and sampled his music, and I'll be playing some of the original music that helped impact a generation. Come on, I know you're looking for some feel-good music, so just keep your radio right here for the Sly Stone Show. And you might want to think about cleaning up your car before we start. This thing is nasty. Oh, back to what's important. It's the Sly Stone Show, now at a brand new time, live, Sunday afternoons at 4 p.m. on the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Gonna shut you down.
Oh, yeah.
So when I turn it on,
blow it out. Not always Daytona. Let's face it.
Yeah, good old Ronnie the Daytonas.
Yep.
So, the other interesting thing that happened to you besides...
It was kind of interesting because this thing has been sitting at the shop. Oh, we're flashing.
We are, huh? Well, then let's see what happens if we do this. We'll go to the phones. Say hi. You're on the Motor Mouths.
Yo.
Going on.
Who are we speaking with?
Rob.
Rob?
Yeah, I called about 2-3 weeks ago. Remember I called in and I said I had that 04 Ford Freestar and I had it in the driveway.
The one that wouldn't start.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, so I'm going to give you your best guess. What do you think it was?
We talked about that afterwards. Remember, Joe? Right. We kind of kicked that around.
Did your computer become a fish tank?
All right. So here's the deal.
Go ahead.
I went under there, okay, and I put a drive on the crank crankshaft bolt.
Right.
And I tried to turn it, and nothing. I'm like, this can't be.
Wow.
The motor couldn't have seized. Just sat in there. So then it was like a 3/8 drive. I said, let me go get a 1/2 inch drive.
Okay.
And you know, it's kind of tight under there. And I put a pipe over the ratchet to get more leverage.
Typical escalation.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So I could extend it.
Uh-huh.
And I pushed and pushed and pushed and boom, it freed up. Because the car sat,
the
crankshaft froze and locked, like it rusted.
That's wow. Jeez.
I got to say, that's not a common thing to happen.
No, not at all.
That is wild because usually we see that with cars that have been sitting for months or years. You know what I mean? But, jeez. Wow. Nice find, though. Well, we were talking about that.
Anyway, so that's it.
Cool.
Okay, good.
So,
and the car started now and everything is fine.
Yeah, no, it starts up.
Beautiful.
Cool. So,
you're back on the road?
Now, listen, the car sat over the winter because, you know, one day in the winter, I don't even know what day it was. I said, let me do the brakes. It's nice and warm. And, you know, I came home from work.
Right.
And then before you know it, it started getting late and dark. I said, that's it. I can't do anymore.
Right.
So the car sat. After that, we never had a warm day until just recently.
Right.
So,
look
so
at
that's
that.
It. So,
now you're back to finally, the square one. Cool.
Yeah, so listen, anybody wants to buy a Ford Freestar, tell them to call in. I got one for sale.
Yeah,
cool. Yeah, you never know. If somebody needs a planter or something, yeah,
sure.
Why not?
Very good. Well, glad to hear you got that resolved, Rob. That's
excellent.
Good to know.
And much appreciated you letting
Take
us
care.
Know. Thank
All right.
you.
It's all
Bye-bye.
Over. That was good to hear.
Wow, rust never sleeps, man.
No, it doesn't. That's odd. Yeah, it's an oddball.
Imagine having to crawl under there and do like chin-ups on a breaker bar trying to get the motor to move.
Actually, I was on the tool truck a few weeks ago, and I looked at this thing. I said, geez, what the hell is this, Minkyo? It's like a half-inch drive breaker bar. Now, you know, your standard one's about 20, 21 inches or so.
Yeah.
I got one that's like 2 foot. This one, I have one I bought from Harbor Freight that's about, maybe it's like 28 inches. It just fits in the toolbox drawer. He had one that was like, geez, Joe, that had to be almost 4 feet.
Jeez. That's not a breaker bar. That's a freaking structural member of a building.
And I said, what do you do? What the hell do you do with this? He goes, oh, yeah, a lot of my dealership guys buy this. It's lug nuts that get stuck. I said, you know, and I just gone through a spate at the shop of lug nuts that were stuck where I had to use the big Harbor Freight breaker bar. And I said, you know, I almost pulled the trigger on that thing. I said, but where am I going to put it?
Rust sucks.
It doesn't fit in like the toolbox.
Because you got corrosion, especially like depending on where you are, you know, in the world, like, you know, in the island near the water, right? You had that Nissan that rusted solid on the one side.
Right.
And the other side wasn't bad. Johnny Wrench had one where, because the car sat for a long period of time, the salt and whatever got to the lug nuts and whatnot on the one side of the car had a real bear of a time getting it apart.
You know, the car I had the trouble with was, that Mercedes that had to do the axle and that car was like brand new.
Right.
And when I took it had lug bolts, and when I pulled them out, they were clean as a whistle.
Right. Well, that's the other thing, because some people actually watch Spinal Tap while adjusting their air guns, and they go to 11. Well, that's one of my favorite, because I see shops all the time just laying on the gun.
Yeah.
And
well, that's what happened. I knew that the wheel was just off at the other shop, and I said, and I asked Mike, who had this wheel off, and he told me the guy's name. So when I saw the other Mike, I said, listen, you should have a talk with him and tell him, dial that thing down, because it went from one shop to the other, and I couldn't get the wheel off. Jeez. And I used Big Bertha. I used the Big Mama Luke, the snap-on half-inch drive gun that takes off like, it would rip rivets out of the World Trade Center, you know?
Yeah, no, that's pretty
nasty. And it just sat there going, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
Isn't that nuts though? When you're trying to, and even sometimes, like I know that I've had cars that I know I've worked on previous. I was the last guy to touch them, and I know I didn't over muscle them or over talk them, whatever. And the gun just sits there, and goes, "You want me to do what?
Yeah,
what? Are you kidding me?
You will not come off now.
See, I go get my friends. We're going to have to work out. Yeah,
you're stuck there.
You're going to loosen up, or otherwise I'm going to flex. You know, but hey,
You could move the world with a big enough lever, so...
Okay, Archimedes.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Well, there's a principle behind that. You know,
levers are good.
Yeah. So,
especially ones that say Hurst on them.
Right. Yo, those are the best.
Those are the best levers.
Before I interrupted you, we were talking about the rust, and then you were talking about the... you can talk about that
right.
car.
Right. I put up a Facebook post a couple weeks back about... I think Instagram, too. About this... really clean Valiant Scamp that was at the shop.
Right.
And it was a hard start, and the customer mentioned a backfire.
Right.
Which I never saw the backfire, and it started right up every time that I was there. So I was like, okay. The plugs and the tailpipe looked pretty dark, and I was like, okay, maybe it's run a little rich. You know, they did some stuff with a choke pull-off or whatever, and they got a reman carburetor for it and so
forth.
That's
a 318 car.
Yeah, 318, dual exhausts.
With a Carter 2 BDL, two-barrel BDL.
B something, yeah. And it started up again, and actually it backfired really hard at one point. It shot flames out of the intake.
Uh-huh. Get the marshmallows.
No, this is weenies for the weenies.
Yeah.
So we got it running. It ran like a bag of whatever animal feces you'd like. And I was like, this thing's got a friggin' mess. And I was like, okay. They asked me to stop by on my way home from work. And I'm dressed in my office casual attire.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I am not digging into this now. It was raining. And I was like, no. Look, dudes, find the mess.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There's a couple of guys old enough to remember cars with distributors, and, you know, cap rotor wires. I was like, find the freaking mist. Pop the wires. There's no idle air control to mess with, nothing like that.
Right.
A couple of days later, because the project was on the back burner, they says, yeah, it's coming from number two, you know, first cylinder on the passenger side. I was like, okay. So they took, spark was good. Obviously, there's fuel. The plug looked like crap. So they did compression. 50 pounds of compression.
Mm.
Okay, now what? No noises in the valve train or nothing. And I'm like, oh, my God, this car's having a psychic communication with the Chevelle over at the other shop with Ray, you know, at the Ray's working on.
Right.
So I ended up yanking the valve cover. Yeah, and watch. Yeah,
I didn't know they made solid lifter cams for a scamp. But anyway, I digress.
Yeah,
oh, sorry. We didn't get there yet.
Well, we weren't even thinking about it. I was wondering if they were even lifting. But sure enough, we cranked it over. The valve train moved. You know, pretty much just eyeballing it. So the next thing we did was we put the cylinder on top dead center. Pull, you know, with the plug out, and we put the good old snap on leak down tester, like the one you have. Very similar. One of the guys had one from back in the day. 80% leakage.
Yeah. Yeah.
80%. And we're like, okay, is there a hole in the piston? And, you know, is it?
That's what I'm thinking. Like, without X-ray vision,
right,
are the valves plumpticated? Did they fall apart? Is one bent?
And I didn't have my borescope with me.
Yeah, that didn't really help me in my diagnostics.
Yeah, I know. Borescopes are funny. You got to get a good one. Number one, and number two, you have to have some practice with it. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe I got to make friends with like one of those proctologist doctors. You know, because I mean they use that thing all the time. You know.
Sure.
Anyway, so I says okay. So we still had a TDC. Loosened up the rockers, and
it's a rocker shaft too.
Right. Yeah. So we just backed it off a little bit to make darn sure that that there was no valve actuation, and we put the smoke machine on it.
Okay.
And basically, if you stood at the back of the car, we elected a new pope.
Yeah. There you go. You know, that's what happened.
Everything else, you know, the dipstick, nothing. Carburetor, nothing.
Yeah.
Passenger side tailpipe.
Right.
So,
right.
There you go.
That's, yeah. See, now, a leak down should have given you the same thing because you would hear it out of the exhaust. Like, we were hearing it. I was, when I had the Chevelle with leak down test, I was hearing it out of the oil drain back passages in the head.
Right.
Yeah. And then through the carburetor, I'm like.
Yes, but when you have indigenous people using an air gun like 5 feet away from you, that's not really an option.
Copy
especially,
that.
I don't really have good hearing anyway, but
yeah.
I was like, okay, forget the audio. Let's go to video.
Right.
And sure enough.
Right. Okay.
And at that point,
talk about a smoking gun.
Got that
well,
right.
Well, that's what we all look for. You know, we're looking for that
smoking
gun.
Looking for the smoking gun. And basically what happens is at this point, it's like, okay, take the parts gun, go talk to the customer, see if he wants, you know, we're going to have to rip the head off.
Head off.
You know. Well, they were talking about, the motor's junk.
No.
Them 318s, I mean, they were right behind the slant sixes as far as longevity
back in the
day.
Which is alongside the Toyota straight six that you worked on.
Them things are anvils, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so actually, I think the guy was somewhat relieved that he doesn't have to get a motor for it because otherwise he would have had to can the car.
Right.
Because, you know, it's either that or we're going to have to go, like, pickpocket Mark Warman.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this now. This is something that I always come across with my own stuff. It's like doing wheel cylinders. You got a right side wheel cylinder is toast. The dictum was always, well, you do them in pairs, so let's do the right and the left. And or, like, if it's calipers or whatever. You know, I take that onto cylinder heads. Like, wow, if the right cylinder head has an issue, the other one's got... This is like Switzernomics when you're talking about car repair.
Right, but, yeah. It's like cock the shotgun, whatever.
Same amount of mileage. Do you go for the pair of the heads?
Well, I mean, we did the compression on the other seven cylinders was 150 PSI, which is pretty respectable.
All right.
And the car, obviously, I was like, where's the dead hole, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like I said, I'm not getting dirty. I'm not doing it, but pop a couple of plug wires, for God's sakes,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And I was in it, that worked out just fine.
Who
so,
you can use for the head rebuild?
I'm not sure who the shop uses. I'm sure they have somebody. Yeah. But
we went out to Lab. Good old, I mean, guys that have been around for a while will remember Lab out in Lindenhurst.
Yeah.
They're still there.
Mm-hmm.
Lee had been the owner and proprietor, and I think he still has a hand in the business, but it's Richie now who's running the deal. Richie's a really cool, laid-back, very competent builder. I mean, the shop is just freaking gorgeous. I mean, they do everything from stem to stern. We were going to use another place, but they would have had to send the heads to Merkel to have the seats changed. And Christian from Long Island Racing, thank you, Christian. And Bob from Oceanside would tell me, yeah, you know, if you go to Richie at Lab, they can do everything in-house, like sold,
Yeah.
So me and Mike loaded the heads.
Stop shopping.
We threw the heads in a truck. We motored out there and dropped them off. They should be done by next week. So.
That's it. You know, and they're a competent bunch of crew.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they've been doing it for 100 years.
Yeah. Yeah. So, by the way, we have a listener coming in. Hi, Andy. We're listening in Miami Beach.
Very nice, yes. Andy. Have a little snifter of cognac for us with the cigar. Somewhere.
Yeah, something with a, you know, for me, something with an umbrella in it, right?
There you go.
And, you know, that's right. And the big black thing is doing just fine.
Yeah.
It'll be
yeah.
ready for you when you get back.
Could take that a few different ways.
Yeah.
The Hummer.
What?
Take that a few different ways. We better take a break.
Are you auditioning for 2.5 Men, the Next Generation, or
yeah,
what?
Well, what the hell, you know? Well, like you said, you got to get eyes on something sometimes, Joe. It's not always good to have your ears. You got to have eyes. Sometimes you got to use your eyes, his eyes, these eyes. I don't know. We're going to check it out now on Motormouth Radio, 90.3 WHPC. You play the bass line in about 10 seconds.
All right. I'm tuned up, ready to go. Let me hit the switch.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday evening at 6 on Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities. An occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday evening at 6 on Revelations. Right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC. Please stay tuned for Motormouth Radio on Sundays at 12 noon, every Sunday, exclusively on WHPC. Join the Motormouths, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Features, information, guest interviews, tech tips, and all your call-in questions on all topics relating to automobiles. And these guys know their stuff. In case you haven't heard this show, not only is it very informative, it is hilarious at times. A lot of call-ins and a lot of crazy people calling in with problems with their cars. And, okay, Joe and Ray offering their expert opinion on these things and doing it in a somewhat comical fashion.
Ray Guarino, Joe D, talking about cars. And like I said, you don't have to know anything about cars to enjoy the show. People watch cooking shows, don't know how to cook. People watch those home repair shows, they don't know how to fix anything. So Motormouth Radio is the same thing. Think about it that way.
These eyes are crying. They're diagnosing. They're looking for smoke. They're looking for jokes. They're looking for all sorts of problems with cars. We do all sorts of crap with these eyes.
Let's just have a Coke.
Well, let's just have a Coke and a smoke, and we'll call it okey-doke, all right?
Damn.
Joe, what are you doing to me?
That was incredible.
Oh, yeah, that was just great, yeah. That was fantastic. That was like high information.
What are those signs that you're flashing right now?
I don't know, but that thing is really taking off. Let's hit the button and say, hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
Hey, guys, it's Jim.
Hey, Jim,
how are you?
What's happening?
Hey, not too bad. I actually got a little car working story for you guys. It's not as exciting as finding a bad cylinder head on a Scamp, but it's a little something for some of those guys out there who don't really work on cars but may have an idea of what they come across.
Okay, talk to us.
Well, last weekend, the wife's coming home from shopping, goes back to Monte Carlo into the garage, and just got a little too close to the side of the garage.
Oops.
So off comes the driver's side mirror.
Oops.
Yeah, so of course I do quick repairs so that I can, like, you know, at least you can drive the car like this for now. But of course I go online right away, order a new mirror, order what I got to get. And, well, the first miracle, of course, is the fact that I actually worked on a car this week.
Okay.
Downloaded the YouTube mechanic video on how to do the mirror, which was a good thing because I really wasn't sure how to pull the door panel off, and that was like made it 30 seconds instead of 20 minutes trying to figure it out.
Right, yeah, those clips could be a killer.
Yeah, so I got everything off and take the old mirror off, put the new mirror on, and I'm looking at it like, wait a minute, this is not sitting right. Why isn't it? It's almost like, you know, the back half of the mirror is sticking way, way out, and the front of the mirror is sticking way, way into the door. I'm like, what the heck is this? So I pull everything back out, and I look at it, and I'm like, oh, my God, she actually bent the door where the mirror sits.
Nice.
Wow.
Oh, so I'm like, wait a minute, this means body work. I don't have any body work tools. What am I supposed to do with this?
Got a hammer.
So, hammer and a block of wood.
Well, a quick little...
play Motormouth Radio cowbells. Just think of like Leslie West. Dink, 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 dink.
Yep.
Well, a quick little walk around the garage, and I found this nice round piece of wood, and I'm like, gee, that would just about fit in there.
Mm-hmm.
Go find a nice BFH, as we call it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And start doing the whole cowbell thing on both sides of the door. First, I had to bend out the front so that it came out a little bit further, and then, of course, the back half where it meant it, pounded that back in. And after three or four attempts of test fitting the mirror, I actually got it to where it was supposed to be.
That's how you do it.
Regular Michelangelo with that hammer and that wood thing over there.
I got to tell you, funny, I was leaving the shop last week, and I had a backup between a foam pole and a tow truck and to back out into Merrick Road, right? And, you know, because I wanted to, the other driveway, now the truck's in my way, I can't see, so I almost got creamed once or twice. So as I'm backing up, I'm looking over my right shoulder, and all of a sudden, you know, I did a prayerful, and I heard this noise. And I stopped. It was my driver's side mirror, caught the foam pole, and it pulled it backwards, like to the front of the car.
Right.
I was like, Mike heard it in the shop. He actually came to the door and looked. I moved forward and I pulled it. And I opened the window and yelled, "Nope!" It just made a hellacious noise. It's actually intact. Put it back in place and away I went.
Did you go buy a lottery ticket because that was your lucky day?
No, I should have, though.
Yeah, but, see?
Yeah.
So we could have had like $700 million, you know?
Well, that's good, Jim. I'll tell you something. Side mirrors have now, on modern cars, gotten to be very, very expensive.
Yes, they have, especially if they're like heated.
And with the lane departure stuff.
Yeah, with the heat-seeking missile option and all that other good stuff there, you know?
Yeah.
They're also very, very high-tech. I've seen a couple of cars where you actually flick a switch and they actually fold in on you.
Well, some of them do it when you put the car in park. Like BMWs do that. A lot of them do it when you put it in park. And then they actually the BMW, the 3 Series, I know, I drove my friend's car when he got it new. And I put the car in reverse to back out of his driveway, and the mirror's tilted down.
Yeah.
So that I could see. You can see if there's a small children or bicycles or snakes, I guess. I don't know.
Endangered ant species, cool. Stuff like that, yeah.
So, yeah, they do get very expensive.
Yeah, cars are getting much smarter than we are. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite. That's why I drive a car with roll-up windows.
Yeah, right. And
doorknobs
you got to push in. No, reach over, pick up the lock.
Exactly, yeah, which is kind of fun, you know, because, you know, when you pull up to the... You know, you pull up to the stoplight, you know, it's really hard to, like, lean over and say, excuse me, do you have any great poupon? You know, you can't really do that so easy.
Our friend Gerard, in his Buick, it was his mom's car, I had to ask him, what's this piece of wood he had under the headrest? It was about 16 inches long, and it was, like, filed into a fork.
Oh,
it was to reach over.
A cranky thing.
No, it was over to pop the door lock open.
Oh, okay.
To let somebody in the car. I'm like, ingenious.
That's great.
Yeah, cool.
Oh, so in other words, there's no Bronx tail test.
No.
No.
Yeah, remote locks. I like that.
Right. So that was cool. But anyway.
Made out of wood, no less.
Well, that's good you got that fixed, Jim. That's nice to hear. And you got to work on a car, which is even better.
Yeah, keep the hands limber.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was definitely a certain amount of, like, you know, accomplishment. Like, I actually worked on a car. I actually fixed it. I fixed it right. Wow.
That's good. And you know what? Now, you see, if you want to expand your horizons and do more of that stuff, don't forget next week is the AutoZium private liquidation sale. And there's all sorts of tools and a lot of hand tools and electric tools and all that are going to be for sale. And it's all going to go at very good prices. So
yeah, I actually got that email and I downloaded it. I was like, gee, I got to go check this place out.
Yeah,
sure. That's pretty cool.
People can contact Mike@AutoZium.org. And we also have the listing for the thing up on our website, MotormouthRadio.com.
Yeah.
And you can see. All right, Jim, we got to run. We got another call. We want to take this and then get on with business.
Skedaddle.
Okay, right, thanks, guys. Can't wait to see you at the Tobey Beach Show.
All right.
Cool.
So long, Jim.
Right.
Bye. Bye.
All right. Callie, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, what's going on? I called you before about that Ford Freestyle with the brakes.
Yes, Rob. Yeah.
So let me give you one more heads up. Whoever's listening is going to love this one.
Okay.
All right, listen. Those cars, a 3.9 liter, notorious for having the spark plugs
snapping in the block when you go to take the spark plug out because they have a long threaded shank.
That's Rob, a Ford thing, yeah.
Did you get to listen last week? We got our friend Mike in the studio who changed the plugs on his 08 Mustang. Every single one, all eight of them, broke. And he was smart enough to buy the tool, the KD tool, that actually is the removal tool. And I got to see that thing in work. So the aftermarket does have, and he bought from Snap-on a socket, a spark plug socket that's about 8 inches long.
Yeah, ain't that crazy?
All right. So let me tell you the deal with this. What works? You know that I went online onto YouTube. I said, oh my God, because it's tight. It was the front center spark plug. Six cylinder,
right?
And I started looking on YouTube about different ways, maybe a new tool or whatever. They said you could use the easy out, but if the easy out snaps in there, you're really screwed because
you're
that's case hardened steel,
right?
And then you know that's a nightmare,
right? Right.
So I'm thinking and thinking and thinking. I went upstairs. I got cotton balls. Okay.
Okay.
And nice I stuffed the cotton balls down all around the spark plug. And then I sprayed it with Bolt Buster.
Oh,
and
okay.
I said goodbye to the job for 24 hours. I came back the next day. I put the Easy Out tool in there.
Yeah.
Zing.
Right out.
Beautiful. Rob, what do you do for a living, if you don't mind me asking?
I work for the railroad.
Okay, so you actually have...
I'm not a mechanic, but...
Okay, but you have obviously mechanical ability. That's good.
Yeah, I'm very mechanically inclined. But let me tell you something. You get something stuck like that, you know, and you're in tight quarters in there because what happens, if you go to spray the Bolt Buster in there, it doesn't sit depending on the angle of the block and how the spark plug is situated in the head. It doesn't always sit around the whole thing. But if you put you stuff cotton balls all around there, you take like you know, just take the cotton ball and take a long screwdriver, stuff them in, and then soak the shit out of it with that Bolt Buster.
Yeah,
yeah.
Come back 24 hours later. It'll pop right out.
That's good to know. Excellent.
That Bolt Buster stuff is unbelievable. It loosens everything.
All right. Well, thanks for the tip, Rob. That's good news.
Much appreciated.
All right, my man.
All right. So long.
Take care. Oh, that's good. Bolt Buster. Okay.
Yeah.
And the cotton ball thing is kind of cool.
You know, our buddy Vince from South Carolina just sent me up a can of this stuff called Old Smoky. It's old smoky, you know, rust penetrant and stuff. So I did spray it on my own car because I have to change the axle. So I hit the axle nut in the front because
it's
original.
Right.
And the ball joints and whatever. And we'll see how that works.
Oh, you didn't
out.
Use the Mother Switzer stuff?
No, I didn't. That's proprietary. So.
Sweet, yeah, that's for the real stuff. That's in case you want to melt the nut.
Yeah, right. Just you don't want to use tools, you want to melt it. So we're getting to the end of the show. Don't forget now, Kim will be coming on with Thunder Road, so all her listeners will be happy that we're not here and she is, and I'm happy for them, too.
We have a few Motormouth guys who might call you up, Kim.
Right. Yeah.
Where's the Motormouth guys?
Yeah, exactly, right.
Get off the air.
Come back.
Right. So.
Bruce.
Right, and we won't be here next week because it's is it Rob doing his or Rob's free for all. He'll be doing the extended version next week on the 14th. So we'll get the oddball Sunday off. My time's already accounted for. The family already scooped me right up. So
yeah, right.
You know,
because we don't the way our schedules.
Yeah,
what you're not doing nothing? Oh. That doesn't involve like either sleeping or being in the bathroom. Okay, we got you.
Right, which isn't a bad thing. We get
Hell
to spend
no.
some time, and then we'll come back on the 21st, and we should have, as scheduled, Mr. Tom Cotter. And I urge you people to look this up in advance. Look up Tom on the web. Look up his videos, the Barn Hunter series on YouTube, which is pretty cool. It's his newest adventure, and we'll talk about that. I'm going to look back in the records and see when we first had him on. I know it was a long time ago. But,
yeah, I remember that quite some time relating those stories, yeah.
Yeah. And then in the meantime, Joe, you and I, of course, will continue to get into automotive mayhem in our respective circles of...
sometimes may, sometimes hem. They have a word definite hem instead of mayhem?
Probably. I would imagine there should be. Or we should, we'll make it, that's all. But
one way or the other, we'll be causing it, that's for sure.
So we're going to go out and have some fun. It's a beautiful day. We're going to go enjoy that. Belmont, the last day today, if you want to...
Yes.
You know, if I was so inclined, I'd go over there, but I got to go upload the show and do some stuff like that.
Some radio things.
Oh, yeah. Otherwise, I'd go over there myself. But I'm hoping to get in touch with the people from that show and get them on here.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe we could find some way of still having a local Nassau show.
Right.
you know, somewhere on, in this side of the galaxy, you
that
know?
That would be very nice, because it's, like I said, it's all regional. I know I'm not going to Bald Hill for a show. It's just too far to travel. So, you know, it's kind of funny to say that, but, you know, it's like, hey, if you don't know, if you don't have anything to buy, what the heck? So, with that, we're going to get out of here. Ray Guarino, Joe D, Motormouth Radio.
Stay tuned for Thunder Road on WHPC.
Week. Bye.